You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Hello, Schmoville. Well, we are back once again. It is the Schmoes No Movie Show. Christian Harloff here.
And I am Mark Ellis.
You are very timid.
Yeah,
very,
how does that sound? It's not timid. It's quiet. Just that I've been made aware that my voice modulation may not be the best. And when we're working with the equipment that we're podcasting with, maybe I need to just be a little more relaxed when I postulate my little witty one-liners and witticisms. Over there is Tiffany Smith.
I'm getting yelled at for moving.
I wasn't yelling it.
So you move, and I talk too long.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. Here's what everybody has to realize, too, Schmoville included. We have moved from Toad Hop. This is our second week that we have done the show.
Uh-huh.
You could be listening to this on Toad Hop, but we are producing the shows now. Ken Knapsack, our great producer / engineer now, is producing and losing his mind.
Yeah, last week he went by the moniker God, and now we're going to demote him to a Scientologist.
Yeah,
who's the Scientologist robot that everybody worships?
Ken, here's you. Which one? I don't know. Ron L. Travolta.
No, the guy that L. Ron Hubbard invented.
No, I don't know. Yodi. Is that it?
No,
what are the little
thing,
the alien things that you are reincarnated as in Scientology?
Thetans.
There you go.
It's not a religious podcast, unfortunately. No. I'd love to banter all day about Vishnu and Allah and all those great guys that somebody made up. But what we're going to talk about is movies. That's what we do here in the Schmoes No Movies podcast. And boy, do we have an exciting one coming into theaters
this weekend.
Oh, man.
It is The Hobbit.
Hobbit. Two big movies, though. It's Hobbit and American Hustle.
I'll see American Hustle at some point, but it's like Hobbit, Lord of the Rings movies come out, and I feel like my tattoo starts like glowing in my mind. I wish it actually did.
Let me ask you a question now, too. So, because you and I, we saw the first one together, too.
I was there. Yeah.
When we saw it originally in the 48 frames, you didn't love it, and then you went back and watched it. And did you love it, or did you like it a lot?
I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I did not love it.
Okay.
I won't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I mean, nothing is ever going to beat the Lord of the Rings trilogy for me.
Right.
But going into this one, I think it's also, I hadn't read The Hobbit in a long time, so I forgot that it was more of a child, a lot more youthful than how dark Lord of the Rings
is. So you think that this is building, that we're getting a darker one now because we're getting into...
I know what I'm going into again. Like, I've been reminded and I'm like, okay, I know what to expect.
Yeah, but it's also, this one isn't really that based on The Hobbit, right? Because there's appendices he went back into, but didn't they also like invent more stuff for this? Like, Peter Jackson's like, I got a great idea. What if we put...
Yeah.
Wolf here.
Well, that's also why I feel like I'm more excited about this, because I think that he does get he gets that whole Middle Earth universe.
Yeah.
And I think that if he's going to add stuff to it, it's going to be good. And just from the trailers, I mean, the trailers for the first Hobbit for me were fine. These trailers, I'm really excited about them.
And it's not
just because Legolas is back.
Because I keep seeing Bloom.
But I'm excited for all the Wood Elves.
You're such a nerd, and it's just so funny because you're so attractive, too. To no end, it makes my head explode. So this Orlando Bloom, he wasn't in the first one.
No.
He wasn't in The Hobbit. And so now he's back.
Right.
And then you have this dragon play. I'm sorry, Josh McCuga, what's the name of the movie?
Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
Now here's the thing, though, too. You bring him back to the point. Now, The Hobbit was one book.
Appendices.
Yeah, but look, the reason that I think that I'm okay with all the changes and stuff from the last movie, there's sure to be a lot of new things in this one and in the third one. These are clearly prequels to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They're not just an adaptation of The Hobbit. They're not. And I'm okay with that. It's like these are the prequels, again, using the Star Wars references that we didn't get in like episodes 1, 2, and 3. It was just a lot of lame shit that didn't really tie into anything. These are clearly leading into the movies that we loved.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. And I was never really a huge, I liked the whole Lord of the Rings books, not a huge Hobbit book fan.
I'm not going to be the guy who's like, that wasn't in the book because I didn't read any of the books. So I just want to see a lot of cool stuff on screen. And I really don't have a problem with them maybe taking one book and extrapolating three movies about that. I think that if you can make
if
two
movies.
If you
can do it off a great movie franchise that worked in the first place.
And plus, it's not like you're starting out making The Hobbit and like, oh, that worked well. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
Like they made one of the greatest trilogies of all time. And notice, Tiffany, I said, one of
the
greatest trilogies. Not the greatest trilogy of all time.
But is Gollum coming back?
So they got some cred.
One of
the.
No, it is not.
For me, it's the.
One of the. So
for me.
One of the. Are we going to.
Back to the Future is number one. Yeah. Right?
Are we going to see Gollum again? Yes? No?
Well.
You got to see Gollum.
I don't.
He's a fan favorite.
I would assume that you're going to, but you got most of his. I mean,
you got everything you in the book. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I think for me that was one of the best scenes because you forget how terrifying Gollum really is and how that would be one of the scariest moments because you're like this weird thing in the darkness and I don't know what's going on and he's going to eat me.
It was one of my favorite scenes in The Hobbit, but it also was the most standalone one that it didn't feel like it was like they were cheating by putting it in there, but it was like that. I didn't feel like that part needed to be in there other than the fact that the fans love seeing Gollum.
No, it has to be in there because Bilbo has to find the ring.
Right. No, that was a huge part of the
book. And it plays into a lot of the other battles.
Yeah,
that
I just don't know if another way without seeing Gollum.
No, but Gollum. No, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
is the whole
that would ruin everything in the next few movies because when Gollum's getting tortured and he's like, Hobbit! I mean, what does he say? Shire!
Yeah.
Well, it's
that whole thing and the riddles and
all that
stuff.
I saw the goddamn movie once in the theater. Yeah. Okay.
You loved it.
Sorry.
I thought it was great.
You did.
But I think that I liked it more because I wasn't as attached to The Lord of the Rings. Like, I think they're a great series of movies, but... My God, are they a time investment? I don't think Lord of the Rings is one of those things that you just. It's not a breezy Saturday afternoon kind of movie to me, and that's fine. But it just. I think The Hobbit was more.
Yeah.
You can just.
I'm like, if it's on, I'm not changing the channel.
Ken Napsack is wrangling cords right now in anger.
Well, Ken, I agree with Ken's face it actually.
What?
Yeah.
So have women all across the world.
Yeah, I agree with his reactions because I do think that it's one of those movies. It's on TV. I don't care what part it's on. I stop it. I watch it. I'm invested in Lord of the Rings stories. Yeah. The Hobbit didn't rope me in that way. And again, I still have not seen it. You know what? The first time I saw 48 frames, then it was on TV recently. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch it. I just wasn't really into it. It didn't hook me the same way Lord of the Rings did. And I don't know if it was just because I'm following around hobbits. I don't remember any of the damn characters at all. The dwarves, I don't remember any of them really at all. I'm hoping to get some more. I hope they introduce some more cool characters in this.
Well, it looks like from the trailer we are going to get a cool one. And his name is, how do you pronounce that, Josh?
Smaug.
The dragon. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing dragons on the big screen. It's one of my favorite things. And he's in, as Josh said last week, he's in that DuckTales, the DuckTales coin.
You know he's voiced by, right?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. See, I know some things about these movies. And I want to make this again clear, because I know that there's thousands of kids right now that are tweeting at me saying, why do you hate Lord of the Rings? I think they're great, great movies, okay? It's just that they don't grip me the same way as some other films.
Right.
And I think The Hobbit, I just didn't
all
have as much
expectations. All of the Lord of the Rings movies. Are that way.
Yeah. They're great movies, you know? But it's like... Huh? Like, I'm getting killed for this Fantasia thing, too. A lot of people love Fantasia. I hated Fantasia. I just couldn't get into it. And I really like The Lord of the Rings. It's just I don't worship them as the greatest films in movie history, but they're very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. And another thing that's very, very good...
Just put on some shoes.
Moving on from The Hobbit.
They have Hobbit feet. They don't need shoes. He said put on some shoes.
All right, you're making a ruckus. I think that another movie that's coming out that in limited release that we are going to hear a lot about in Oscar season would be the new film with... Jennifer, who's in this, Ken?
Jennifer Knapsack. Lawrence!
Jennifer Lawrence, Lawrence Knapsack. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, and Christian Bale in American Hustle. And that is, that's
and Jeremy Renner.
You know, I was talking to Alice about
this.
You forget that he's in the movie.
Yeah.
You see him in the poster and you go, oh, Hawkeye's in this? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see American Hustle because you hear a lot of Oscar buzz. It's got a great cast, all that good stuff. And it's based on a true story.
So that's
another kind of wrinkle because Christian Bale is just... He's got to have some health problems later on in life, right? Because he keeps putting on weight.
Is he fat?
He's back to being fat, chubby Christian Bale in this.
Yeah, and David O. Russell now is basically taking his last two movies that he's had his hits with, and now
taking the cast from it.
He's taken both. It's like his trilogy almost. Mm-hmm. It's like his Avengers, if you will. So he's mixing it all together. You got Christian Bale now.
I think David O. Russell just loves torturing Christian Bale. He's just like, hey, honey. He goes home and he's like, honey, I'm going to get him really fat. I'm going to make him lose a lot of weight.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
Stop.
Have another turkey leg. Then we're making the machine.
But here's
too.
The thing with like a director. It's such a close relationship that I'm sure for all of them, they're comfortable with each other and they know his lingo and how to
get
the thing.
He must have changed though, no? Because he was notoriously a scumbag on set. Like, you saw those videos.
Mean, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, well,
you still think
I mean,
he's an asshole?
Hopefully, I mean, well, there are certain people that are assholes to a lot of other people, and then you get the right mix, and they're not an asshole.
But wait, George Clooney punched him in the face. what's her name? The chick from I Love Huckabees. Thank you.
Oh,
Lily
Tomlin.
Tomlin.
Thank you,
the second time our guest has helped us. Lily Tomlin.
We haven't even intro'd him yet.
Yeah, screaming and yelling at him during that set. I mean, he was notoriously an ass, so I think he turned himself around is what I think.
Maybe he – I don't want to speculate, but I don't know. Maybe he just realized, hey, I'm being a prick. If George Clooney punches you in the face
– yeah, you got a problem. Yeah.
You probably did something. Maybe Lily Tomlin, she's a comedian, so she's got that kind of weird head anyway. So, but George Clooney seems like he's got it together.
You got expectations for this film, Ellis? What do you think?
It should be an Oscar contender. It should at least, you know, grip me.
Yeah.
I want to be gripped.
I don't know what the hell it's about. You got to assume Amy Adams is going to get dirty again. She gets dirty in every movie
she's
in.
Dude, you are obsessed with this.
She gets dirty a lot now, Amy
Adams. She didn't get dirty in the Muppet movie. She didn't get dirty in that other movie.
She didn't get dirty in Man of Steel.
She didn't get dirty in Man of Steel.
She could have.
She didn't get dirty in the Justin Timberlake Trouble with a Curve Clint Eastwood.
Can we talk about what she has gotten dirty in?
Yeah.
All right. How about The Master? What'd she do there? Whacking off Philip Seymour Hoffman over a sink. Come on. Show some class.
Ding.
Fighter, she's getting nailed against the wall.
Ding.
Yeah, and then that movie with the
movie with the tits in the
bush.
No,
the Kerouac one, On the Road. When she's getting slammed in that one as well, too.
Okay,
she's
slammed.
What?
Made love, too.
Oh, well, not in that movie. Oh,
God.
What are you saying?
That was so uncomfortable for me.
What is getting made love to?
Why was
there
a reaction?
Why did you attack the animal?
Just the way you
slam?
Said it was really funny. I don't know. Stop doing that.
I'm a classy guy, you know?
Just Makuga. Stop those stop noises him. Back there.
How's it pronounced?
Smile.
So, those are the movies coming out.
Does anyone else feel like from the billboards, though, for whatever reason, like, movies that are from different times, when I see the poster, I'm like, okay... For some reason, every time I see the billboard, I'm like, they're in costumes.
You think that you don't think it looks?
Like, I don't know why.
It feels a little.
Is it because they're so famous?
I don't know. That might be it. It feels like I'm gonna. Yeah, I mean that must be because I'm like I'm going to see Jennifer Lawrence in Disco.
But I think also when you're coming off a huge blockbuster like what Christian Bale's doing after the Batman movies, or Jennifer Lawrence is playing Katniss in Hunger Games, I think they like disappearing into something else.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're doing. But it does feel a little bit like dress up. Like every time I'm in Texas and I see a guy wear a cowboy hat, I just feel like he's like, it's like, oh, is it Halloween?
And I think that's the thing. I think with the billboards and pictures and stuff like that, you can get caught in the, oh, that looks like it's dress up. But I think that David O. Russell's the type of filmmaker and those are the type of actors that you'll forget about it. Once you're five minutes in the movie, you're back.
But he's not being a scumbag.
Well, listen, I don't care if he's a scumbag to me. I just hear about the stories and I read about him afterwards. I'm talking about, from what I hear, just curious if I wouldn't work the guy watching his movies.
Yeah.
The last two have been a knock out of the park.
Well, I think we can all agree that we hope Amy Adams gets dirty and gets slammed by somebody in this movie.
Stop it!
Now, I can't say slammed or made love to. I can't win.
Tiff,
I cannot win.
What's the proper word? What should we use?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on what's happening.
What if she's getting slammed against the wall?
Then fine, you say that.
Okay. So.
I know what you want. You want the biblical term, like to go lay with someone.
No, it depends on what's happening. Like, you correct. It was just you saying made love to or whatever you said was just awkward.
Is it creepy?
Because I'm not. What? Because I'm too dressed down? I'm too
casual? No, because it's like I've never heard you say something like.
Hey, Tiffany, I don't know.
Making noises.
Christian, clearly she hasn't educated herself as to the dating wiles of Mark Ellis.
Did you not see the drama queen?
If you watch the drama queen, then you'd know that I am one classy guy.
If you said anything like made love to or slammed on your first date.
Paid for that broad's entire meal. And what does she do? She just like, oh, no, thank you. I'm a weird chick.
No, he just
I'm
said, look out.
Oh, my God. What up? I'm still not over that.
I know. We talked about it all last week. All right. We're going to move on from the movies coming out this weekend. And now we're going to introduce our guest. Very excited about our guest that's coming in the studio for a lot of different reasons here.
Well, he's been on a successful date. So successful, it ended up in a marriage and a child.
And
recently,
a child.
So.
That's true. And he
also feels comfortable about the made love to slammed conversation.
I'm sure he does. And we'll get into that as well.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah. No. Well, you don't know him as well as I do. Now, this guest was actually, I think, on our seventh episode that we ever did of the podcast. Seven or eight.
Now, how did you remember that? You must have cheated.
It was when we had cheese.
Yeah, it was back. It was kind of back. Engineer. It was the real. It was back when before it was a nursery.
You meant like snacks.
No, see that's how long ago he was on because Tiffany didn't know who cheese was.
Yeah, we just had a log of cheese.
I was literally like, why do you remember what snacks you had?
No,
unless
cheese.
It led to
cheese, our engineer.
We served this
not
next guest brie with some wheat thins.
Yeah,
and then we made sweet love afterwards.
He is a good buddy of mine, but he's also a very talented producer and just worked on the most recent series, Being Mike Tyson, on Fox Sports 1. And he will be on the Schmoes No Movies Network with his own podcast starting in either January or February of 2014. Wow. Our buddy, producer, Andrew Freed.
Okay.
Andrew,
what's up?
Wow. Thank you so much.
How are you, dude?
Thank you. Great.
Welcome back to Schmoes.
I don't want to stop talking about Rachel McAdams getting slammed.
Rachel McAdams?
Who was it? Amy Adams?
Girl.
Amy Adams getting slammed.
Rachel McAdams has gotten slammed a couple times, but not as many as Amy Adams.
I got confused.
It's all right. She's usually in time when she's doing it.
But yeah, no, I don't want to stop the wonderful discussion that was happening. I was listening from outside, which was nice. And so am I too loud?
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
No, okay. All right. So what's the name of the character in the Hobbit?
Smaug.
All right.
Nobody hits that AUG quite like Josh McHugh.
He gets this big shit-eating grin on his face when he does it too. I love it. He gets so excited to say it. He's like, "Yes,
Smaug."
Smaug.
He hasn't said anything else
except Smaug
in 25 minutes.
He will, because that's another thing I want to tell Schmoville. We are going to be introducing a great game today, and Freed will be participating in that as well. And McCougar will be one of the main culprits in the show tonight. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first, let's talk to Andrew.
Yes,
Freed,
talk to me.
Talk to us about...
I precede Tiffany. I was before...
Yeah. Yep.
You were one of the...
You were before Reitman.
I was BT.
Yeah.
You were before Reitman. You were before Katie. You were before... I mean, you were before...
You were before Christian had a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while. And I'm sorry to just do this to you out of the gate, because we're eventually going to talk movies in your podcast on the Schmoes No Podcast. God, but I've never met this man. I've been in the same room with him once. I walked by him at a cigar bar across from the Comedy Store, and I was literally terrified. I was so terrified. I just turned around, and I couldn't even cross paths with
Woody
him.
Allen?
I was so intimidated.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about you. I was like, you've never been in the same room with him?
Iron Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
And now you worked on a show, you produced his show for Fox Sports 1, and I guess you guys are like buddies. You could probably text him. You could probably call him right now and have him call into the podcast.
I don't call him on his cell phone. I could text him, but
okay.
But what's he like?
What's fun there?
What's he like hanging out on a day to day basis? I mean, because I grew up when I was a little kid is when he was really knocking people out. And then you go back and you watch these things on ESPN Classic, and you just don't see a guy like
he's
that get in the ring anymore.
Dude, he's a force of nature, and that's why people like respond to him so well, because he was just he wasn't man made. He got made. He was just something.
He got that look in his eye in the ring, and it was the same look that Jordan had when he'd walk out for like a finals game, and it's just so focused and fearless and ready to beat the shit out of you.
It was a thunderstorm, man.
So what's it like hanging out with that dude?
Can I tell you the truth?
Is he like Smaug?
In all honesty, In all honesty, though, I genuinely miss hanging out with him.
Yeah.
He is what somebody – I spent 3 months with him on and off. We didn't wake up together. But
you didn't make love.
I interviewed him for probably about 16, 17 hours.
Yeah, you can hear your voice in the actual show.
And I my colleagues and my wife tease me, but I genuinely miss him. Hanging out with Mike Tyson is one of those things that – it goes through sort of an arc, like a story arc unto itself, where it is first like really, really just pinch yourself cool, right?
Right.
We were all fans first.
And you were texting your pictures of him.
And you exactly. And the first time I interviewed him was on my birthday. And I knew that I had like my 10th or 11th, now I don't remember offhand, my 10th or 11th birthday party watching the Buster Douglas fight.
Oh, wow.
And so instantly, I'm just – it's so present and, you know, it's
– But that's not something you can bring up around Mike, right? He doesn't want to talk about getting knocked out.
But that's –
I brought up everything.
Thanks for watching the show, Mark. that's sort of what it was about.
Yeah, those levels that you went with. let me catch up real quick. Like what did – Because you went to the stuff, like it was really cool to watch him with Evander Holyfield, and I want to talk to you about the fact when you got to be in the room with both him and Muhammad Ali, which I definitely want to hear that story,
Whoa.
How that went down. But how do you go from taking these positive stories and then hitting him in the negative, not negative, but the dark times in his life with, like, him in prison, the, you know, going to prison, losing. Like, how do you as a producer, first of all, approach those things? And then what's it like as he's responding to them?
It depends on the person, right? Because I've sort of...
Tyson
specific. Because yeah. I do sort of... I've had that exercise with a couple of people. But with him in particular, it was always about that we were making something great. What you forget about Mike Tyson, or what you sort of put in the back of your head, is that he's feared, and he was an animal, and he was this, that, the other. He's also somebody who has achieved greatness. And I say greatness as sort of this, like, bigger term, right?
And an icon.
Exactly. So when he knows that he's a part of something, I don't want to say that's approaching the heights of his boxing career, but when you're making something that at least is aiming to be great, and you sort of embark upon that journey together, he's down.
Yeah.
He was down. Tell me what you want me. We developed a really nice relationship. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what we're doing. Tell me. It was. I think there's also something with him where he doesn't want to go back about the good stuff or the bad stuff. It's all the same to him. It is all a long time ago. This is a guy who, and I don't want to, like, psychologically break him down, but he is famous. And he likes being famous, but he's sort of embarrassed. I don't want to put that word in his mouth, but it's a chapter of his life. If we were all famous for things that we did when we were 19 and 20,
right. Yeah.
And no matter what we did since...
Sperm donation.
Right. But no matter what you do, that is what everybody wants from you, good and bad.
Right.
I'm angry at you that you did this thing when you were 20.
Yeah.
I hate you because you did this thing allegedly when you were 20.
I love you because you did this thing.
I love you because you were the best there ever was.
Yeah.
Both of them are equally foreign to him.
Make you uncomfortable.
You're just a different person now.
Right. Yeah. Well, we all are. Again, yeah. He's 47 years old. I look like I'm 57, but I'm not that old. But if I was famous for the thing that I did when I was 20, I'm sure I would be embarrassed.
Right.
I'm sure I would be.
Well, and do you think, though, too, that he... like?
But it's what gives him a microphone and an outlet now.
Yeah, sure.
Had the thing not happened when he was 20, or we wouldn't care what he said about anything.
Right. Now, do you think, though, too, because there is that thing, even like when you did that whole thing, when you brought him back to his time in Flatbush, correct? Not Flatbush, Brownsville.
Yep.
And when he went back to Brownsville, and
nobody watched the show.
I watched the show.
No,
and
the one about the boxer.
Yeah, but when he was in Brownsville and he was with his buddies and they were still the pigeons. Every time you see Mike, it's the pigeons. But there's also that thing where you saw that 12 or 11 year old kid or however old he was when he used to rob people and he had to go down to that path. Do you think that there's still that? Do you think that dark side is still in there? Like, you know what I mean? Like that crazy shit, the biting of the ear thing, the thing that it was able to get him to that point, is that still in there?
I don't know that can ever fully go away.
Yeah.
Did you ever fear for your ear being bitten off?
No, the ear biting thing, and it's interesting. Bringing together Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield in that room on that day
was crazy,
is like something that... You know, you could put it on my epitaph. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
They sort of dismiss a lot of that stuff as boxing stuff. You headbutted me. I headbutted you. I blow here. I bit your ear.
It's war. It's war.
It's funny how a non-event that is. Not a non-event, but it really, like... It's sort of
it's like playing football.
Shit happens.
Oh, so you need me in the balls when you're
around. Yeah. Rugby. I think of rugby. Under the scrum, you punch me in the balls. I tore at your ear. Like,
right. it's part of the game.
Sort of, they're in it.
I'm glad I played basketball.
Yeah.
Glad I played chess. What was I talking about?
Yeah, but being in the room with Holyfield and Tyson and the dark side
totally gone kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't. We were talking about Holyfield. I don't really remember.
Sorry. When you do your own podcast, we'll be here to kind of
get me back on track.
But going into the Holyfield thing, one of the things I thought was crazy about that moment was, so in the show, Tyson goes to watch Holyfield's son fight. Mm-hmm. Holyfield is watching and he's paying attention. He's as Holyfield always was, is very calm. And as Tyson was, Tyson's the one who's more emotional, cheering and screaming and yelling. It's like how I would be if my kid was in the sporting event going nuts. And was it weird the fact that he was cheering on Holyfield's kid more than Holyfield?
Dude,
was?
I'll tell you what, that's got to be a tough event if I'm the other boxer, because not only am I worried about Holyfield's kid, I'm like, that guy that's really rooting against me can kick my ass too.
That poor kid.
Should I just lay down?
Yeah.
But
so was it weird?
Or if I win this fight, it'll be like the greatest
day of my
life.
It was this intense. So here's what I'll say about Mike. When we first started, he said, you're never going to see me in a gym. You're never going to see me hit a bag. I just don't do it anymore. It's not a part of my life. I haven't been around a boxing ring other than like a prize fight or something. Yeah. I haven't been around a boxing ring or in a gym like that hitting a bag since I retired.
Right.
And we went to every – and then this thing came up, and he was like, yeah, I want to do that. And I think he was surprised by how he couldn't sit back. Holyfield's a really reserved guy.
Is he kind of lost it a little bit?
No.
Really?
I think he's just – he's
– I love him, by the way, but he's been fighting for weeks. He's still fighting.
He's a very different kind of guy than Mike is.
Yeah.
And so to see them together, it's almost like great that they came together and they actually do have a mutual respect, but they would never be friends.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just don't roll the same way.
Right. Yeah.
And so we were ordering lunch after the whole thing was done. The deal that I made with Holyfield was that we would do the interview and we would, the time together and everything else. And then he volunteered that his son was having a fight, but he said, I just want an hour with Mike off camera afterwards. I said, okay, we could do that. He just
may I inquire what the hour will entail?
Yeah.
But he, they just had lunch, and so we were getting them lunch or whatever. We were at a fancy hotel, and Mike is like,
Holyfield orders pigeon.
Yeah.
Mike is like, Mike's a vegan, and he's like, I need these waffles, but they got to be like
Mike's
this.
Mike's a vegan?
Yeah.
Wow.
They got to be like this, and da, 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 da. And he was ordering like in When Harry Met Sally. And then I turned to Holyfield, and I'm like, I'll go anywhere. I'm going to go to McDonald's for the crew. What do you want? And he goes, number four.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Like, it's just like they're two completely different.
Yeah.
We got to get them in a buddy comedy.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of the other two, because you're around, Holyfield's one of my favorite players of all time.
The show is something I will say. The show is something I'm incredibly proud of.
Yeah.
It's available on iTunes. It's called called Being Mike Tyson. It's very expensive on iTunes.
Is it?
But it's like $3.99 an episode.
Yeah, but out of six episodes?
It's like a $25.
If you're a Tyson fan and you are a boxing fan, this is a must-see series, Schmoville, because I watch it religiously and I did watch all of it. And one of the things I want to talk before we move off the Tyson thing is you got to tell me what you're feeling as a person and as a sports fan when you walk into Muhammad Ali's house. How does that go down? Like what are you feeling?
Well, you were invited, right? You weren't breaking in.
Yeah, just show up. Yeah. So the thing that I will say about Mike that carries through this story as well is that when you spend a certain amount of time with him, and again, I really value the connection. I don't want to call it a friendship because it was temporary, but the connection.
I bet you he would call it a friendship.
Yeah, I saw him recently, and he was at a book signing in L.A. I came with my 12-week-old baby, and he had a lineup of people, and he saw me, and he shouted, Andrew Freed and his baby!
That's awesome.
Like, he didn't say he was going to eat your children.
No. But
he's been known to...
I would say about him is that I've interviewed and worked with plenty of famous people, as everybody here has sort of, had
You've
that
worked
interaction.
With Nick, yeah.
And I've worked with you guys. He is the person more than anyone who that light, that spotlight, reflected off of. I felt more important being around him. I felt better at my job. I felt more interesting. I felt raised up being around him, whereas I do feel like a lot of other people suck that from you. They need the light, and so they sort of suck that mojo out of the room. Mm-hmm. He genuinely made me feel that way. And so walking into the room with Muhammad Ali, after again making that happen, these things don't just happen, it's sort of like the fruits of many, many weeks of labor, and it felt right.
Yeah.
It felt like that's where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I flew to Phoenix today, Mike and I are going to go see Ali. And like, it was... It's sad to see him. He's not well. He's not able to speak.
What's he? He's like 73 now, 74.
Well, it's not even an age thing.
No,
it's
I just, know, but I'm just saying, but that adds to it.
Yeah, he's just he's not great.
Yeah,
but there are glimpses when you see them connecting, and it's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic. And in that same episode, we sort of were showing how Mike stands in all of this. So Mike went to see Jack Johnson's grave when he was in Chicago. That was something he wanted to do, sort of pay respects to the people who came before him. He visited Ali. We went with him to a UFC fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sat with Dana White. I mean, I'll never be able to go to a UFC fight again the craziest.
Was Mike Tyson
it was
and
like
Dana White.
It was like Joe Rogan was like Tiffany's a couple rows behind me.
Tiffany's a huge UFC fight. I know what it was. It was a Cain Velasquez fight.
Yeah,
okay.
The one with those two guys without a shirt and they're fighting each other.
They were like punching and kicking. But those guys, when they're winning fights, are climbing out of the cage to shake Mike Tyson's hand. And so it was. Awesome.
But
he's awesome.
And yeah. and if somebody out there is about to click on the buy button on iTunes, yeah,
and get the HD. I'm sure the HD is an extra buck. But like
here's where
my parents watched it in SD, and you know they shouldn't. Get the HD.
They can see fine. My question is, because now that we know a little bit more about this reality TV world than we did a few weeks ago, is this all stuff that Mike wanted to do, or is this all producers calling and be like, hey Mike, you know it'd be really cool is if maybe we set you up at like a UFC fight, or
he goes to UFC, he
hang out
UFC
with Holyfield. But is that stuff that it's like cooked up in a room? That what if we put Mike Tyson in this predicament, or is it something that Mike Tyson is like, this is my vision that I want to see carried out to the end.
It's not cooked up in a room, but it is produced.
Yeah.
It is.
And you guys have dream moments when you're watching a show where you're like, man, wouldn't this be amazing if you could?
So you embark on a journey of, I'm going to do this show called Being Mike Tyson. It's going to be a documentary, not a reality show. The first thing I said when I was meeting for the job was, if we're episode 3 and Mike's driving carpool and fighting with his wife over whether or not she should get Botox, we have failed. And initially there were people who said, you know, we want to demystify him and see what he's really up to now. And it's like, no, I have no interest in demystifying him whatsoever.
Yes.
He is like, he should absolutely
remain a mystery.
Right.
And we should learn more and be even more intrigued by what we don't know and are trying to figure out. And so he had this one-man show. He was starting to tour around the country. And we knew that we would be spending time with him in these different cities. Well, what does he do when he gets to these cities? Mike, what do you want to do when you get there? I don't know, Andrew. I just, you know, whatever he wants to do. And you sort of come up with things. Well, we're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to see Holyfield if we put you together with Holyfield? Yeah, I love Evander. You know what I mean? So it's
not a bad Mike Tyson.
I know.
Sure. You spend enough. Can you do a good Tyson impression?
I wouldn't
order waffles. Order vegan waffles
for your life.
I wouldn't do that.
Does he not like when people do impressions of him?
He doesn't mind it. Yeah. He is so smart and knows so much about so many things. He doesn't sleep at night. He just reads. And oh yeah, the host's phone is ringing.
Yeah, no.
Is there some sort of Tyson? Yeah.
Sorry, I gotta take this. Mike, how are you?
He reads everything, and then the other thing is when you start to have conversations with him about like just random shit that he knows, it's like, oh yeah, he's been everywhere.
Right.
When he talks about the Great Wall of China, it's because like he's walked the Great Wall of China with, you know, the Dalai Lama. You know, like it's just like he has done – that doesn't make sense. But he's done everything. It's weird.
Anyway. I just nodded and
you
like –
No, you were into it. You're like, yeah. But he's
– Smog.
He's been with everyone he's met. I was waiting for it. So the sort of primary source material that he has is just from talking to leaders of the world. And he's gained and lost $400 million in his life. And
I mean, that's an incredible story. In general, he's fascinating. And
he should be dead. He should never have made it out of where he made it out of.
Yeah, so and he did. It's a crazy story. So, guys, check that out again on iTunes.
Mike Tyson
sitting here
on iTunes
with producer Andrew Freed.
Yeah, let's talk about Let's talk about boxing legends tonight on the Schmoes No Movie.
Listen, but that's, again, that's the thing. It's a fascinating thing, and we're switching, talking to Andrew Fried. And I wanted to tell you guys a little bit more about Andrew, because, like I said, he's going to have his own show on the Schmoes No Network, telling really cool, crazy stories, kind of like this, of people he's worked with. And, Andrew, do you have a little bit of a idea of what the Schmoville will be able to see from what about the name? Do you have a tentative name?
I got one. You could call it Fried with Andrew Fried. It's like it's fried. All these crazy stories.
I think he's going to pass on that one.
I'm going to pass on Fried.
Well, because Christian made you do it.
That's true.
I have some ideas. Okay. I think the leading contender now, and Schmoville can chime
in. Exactly right.
I don't know that it's going to be a binding vote, so I can't say that you may hate what I'm going to
say. I can suggest heavily.
So my radio show in college was called Chewing the Fat.
Chewing the Fat.
Which was an option for me, but what I really want to go with is The Kibitz with Andrew Fried.
The Kibitz?
Very Jewish. Yeah. That's what I said. Very Jewish, yeah.
The Kibitz. There's really nothing that I like in life, and anyone who's friends with me, Christian more than Mark, no offense, but I'm open to being your friend, but I'm closer with Christian. I've known him longer. And
you guys have chewed more fat together.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you
last
for calling it back.
Last week's first date went way better for you than this week's.
But there's nothing that I love more than the Kibitz.
Right.
And so, I want my podcast, and trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But I want it to be conversations
with
people.
Will Mike Tyson be on your show?
Maybe.
All right.
But I want it to be conversations with people. I want it The thing about my job, my journey, my experiences is that I do get to, sit and talk to very interesting people.
And that is what is so cool about having you on the network. You'll be able to hear a lot of those stories. And Schmoville, you guys will get introduced more to Andrew by listening to his show on the Schmoes No Network, and that'll be on in January or February. But
and you got to help me, because I'm not, I don't want to pretend to be huge podcast guy. A lot of this is all new to me.
They'll welcome you.
But my understanding is
suck.
That I'll try not to
my
suck. Mark said that to me.
I know, I got some advice for you too. Don't talk too loud in the mic. You tend to get
hot mic. Yeah, we wanted to introduce you to Schmoville tonight, but we also want to introduce you tonight to our crew that I know you know some of them. You have visited before, but we're gonna introduce you, and you can participate in a new game that we're gonna play tonight.
This is
debuting a new game, which is very, very exciting, because
yes!
we look. This is from the guys that brought you the Celebrity Impression Dating Game.
Yep.
They brought you Hello the Game.
The game.
We got a pretty good track record with this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think tonight
What's
is gonna be our Buster Douglas.
No, this is going to be a fantastic, fantastic game, and we're all going to play, and Tiffany will like this game. Now here's what I did.
I don't have to do impersonations.
No, you don't.
What do I have to do? And can I win?
Can I win something?
You can win. Is there wagering?
I'll give you a shirt. All right, so here's...
Is there wagering?
There's a wager. Here, listen, listen.
I don't listen.
Here's how
either.
This works. Here's how it works.
It's coming off the rails.
Josh?
I have that effect. That's part of the kibitz, is that sometimes, Tiffany... Sometimes,
you don't know what's going to happen.
Sometimes it just goes off
can
the rails
Can I explain the game? I need to explain it. all right, so here's how the game works. Josh the intern, JTI, is horrendous at pronouncing names.
Ooh, he's bad.
He's bad. We've had such great names as Guillermo del Toro.
Oh,
great filmmaker.
Dolph Lundgren.
Big scary guy.
John Liejo.
Lundgren is not that terrible.
Lundgren?
Yeah, but it's Dolph.
I know what it actually is, but it's not
but
like,
it's not like he,
let's make fun of Josh the intern.
But wait a minute.
Okay.
If Dolph Lundgren just came on the scene last week, he has been around for over 30 years.
Kind of an iconic role as Ivan
so
Dragon.
So you should know. But anyway, and John Liejo from The League. It's John Lajoie.
You know how he pronounced the dragon's name in Hobbit 2?
Lajoie. But you wouldn't get Lajoie.
Let's tease Josh the intern because he couldn't get Lajoie.
So you know what? Do you not want to play this game?
No, I want to.
There's,
I really want to.
Is the one we were doing earlier on the list?
Lajoie. No, that one's not on
there.
Not,
okay, so, I mean, tell him that one, because that's the one that really, cinches it for him being terrible.
Listen, that name is hard to pronounce in general, so I'm going to give him some
what
slack.
What he guessed it as.
How do you pronounce his name?
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
He pronounced it Chewbacca Iguafa. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
No, but okay. So here's what we're going to do. So I called the Wild Man today. I called McCougan. And I said, here's what we're going to do.
I'm a big fan of McCougan, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Schmoville.
Better friends with him than Ellis.
Yeah. They could kibitz all night.
Yeah. So here, listen.
You would be a great kibitz.
Hey, guys, nobody's paying attention to my friend Christian Harloff
right now. Would you love to hear the rules in this game?
I want to hear the rules of the game.
So I called Josh McCougan. And I said, McCougan, here's what we got to do. I want you to take 10 celebrity names. You take these names, and we will all guess on whether or not how many of them Josh the intern will get right. So we're gonna go
this
ahead.
This is also the first he's hearing.
Yeah, we're gonna after we take our bets on whether or not he'll get them right, and we're gonna send him down the hall. We're going to send him down the hall, okay. And then we're all going to guess on whether or not he'll get these names or not. And Schmoville, you can play along too. So JTI, why don't you go ahead down the hall, go all the way down, go hang out with Mr. Fickus, and then Riley, would you mind getting in when we're ready to play? Okay, and Riley, you can play along as well too. So let's get. Can I have Josh McCougar? Sure. So McCougar, why don't you use Freed's mic?
Get on it. Get in here.
All right, so we'll go around the room. We'll start with Tiffany.
Okay.
Josh McCougar will give the name, and we start with Tiffany. You have to say whether or not you think he'll get the name, and then who's keeping score on our thing?
I don't see anyone with a pen.
McCougar's doing.
There's only 10 names, right?
There's 10 names.
I'd like to add a name. I already saw the list. I want to add one name.
Then you got
to
get rid of
11.
One. All right. So here we go. Let's here's the list. McCougar. So
the list is great. I pre-screened the list.
It is pretty great.
I love McCougar. No offense to Ellis.
Game night with like 18 family members all trying to read the instructions.
Yeah, it's too much. Let's please, Fred. I love you, but just hold on for a second.
Okay. First, Kevonjanae Wallace, the girl from Beast of the Southern Wild.
No way he's getting that.
Hold on, wait. Let's go together.
Second is Sierra.
Wait, no. We got to go around the room.
Hold on. Tiffany. I have a question.
Yes.
Am I saying like he is going to get 6 of these correct?
No, you're going to say each one. He's going to say each name. All you have to say yes or no. He's going to get it or he's not going to get
it.
So the first name.
He's not going to get it.
Okay. I do not think he's going to pronounce it right.
No way.
Freed?
No, there's no way he's going to pronounce that
correct. Riley? You can
no chance
out.
In hell.
No chance. Okay. Nobody thinks. Okay.
I don't know that should be first. I feel like we should save that one.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, all right. So what's the next one?
Second is Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
It looks like it's Saoirse.
From Hannah.
Is he going to get to read them?
Okay. He reads them. He sees the name. Yeah. He reads them. Okay. All right.
No.
Okay. I say no.
Nope.
Freed?
I can't even remember.
I don't think so. I don't think I could get it.
Riley.
Nope.
Okay, next.
Okay. Nikolai Coster-Waldau. He plays the
Game of Thrones.
Kingslayer in Game of Thrones.
Does he watch Game of Thrones?
Doesn't matter. Dolph Lundgren. He's a Rocky IV fan.
If he's a fan of the show, you've heard the name.
He's seen Rocky IV 1,000 times.
I know, but still.
I'm going to say no.
No way.
How do you pronounce the name?
Nikolai.
No, there's going to be a hard. There's going to be a hard J.
Okay,
Nikolaj.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be Nikolaj.
No, I think he'll get the first name right. I don't Nikolaj. Think Nikolaj.
I think we're going to Nikolaj.
Nikolaj. What was the French one he didn't get?
No, it wasn't French.
It is.
Guelmo.
No.
Who? The guy from the league.
Oh, Tom John Liejo.
Lacroix, like the water.
Riley.
Can I just say he's not going to get any of these
now?
All right,
so
there are some that are funnier, though. There are some that are really funny.
All right, okay. So let's go. Next.
Okay, sorry. I'm putting zeros for me and a zero for Riley.
So far, no. I think Tiffany is the only one. Let's move through these. Let's move through them.
Mariska Hargitay.
I love this one.
All right. Kuga, make sure you use the mic on the next one.
Mariska Hargitay. But I think that we should try to not have him look at that one. Just be like, you know that chick from Law and Order with the short hair?
He's got to look. He's got to read. Let's just stick with it. We got to move fast.
Yes.
We got to go fast.
Yes.
Tiffany's on yes.
Yep.
All right. I think he will get that one also.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Free?
I think no.
Okay.
Okay.
No. I don't think any of you.
Riley already said
what's
no.
What's the
problem?
Mariska or Mariska?
Mariska.
It doesn't
Mariska.
Matter if we get it right.
Here we
right.
go. Yeah.
Idiot. Here we go.
All right.
Saying no as well.
Next one. Next one. No next. Well. Riley's got no all the way to the board.
Okay. Yeah. No across the board.
Yeah.
Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
That's an incorrect pronunciation.
McCougar, you got to use the mic.
Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
All right.
So looks like Sevigny.
Okay. So you.
Sevigny.
Chloe.
You think yes? I say no.
Yes.
No for me.
Okay.
I'm going to say no for me.
Okay. So what's the next one?
Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen?
Yeah, what do you think?
Pronounce.
Nah, it's Famke Janssen.
There's no way he's saying Janssen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
What do you say? You think he's going to get it?
No.
I think he will get that.
Not if you're making him say.
How is her name?
I think Janssen. I think. No. He's got to say Famke.
Does he get credit for Famke Janssen?
Yes.
Then yes. Yes, he will get that one right.
All right, next.
Then I'm saying I'm going yes. If Famke Janssen is in, then I'm in.
All right.
I want to know. On the league, Steve Renazzisi.
Can I see it? How it's spelled? Oh,
I feel like I'm watching the
spelling. Doesn't he know him?
He knows that he's been on the show. I'll say yeah. I'll say he gets it.
Yep.
We got to play this game.
Yeah, we got to
reveal the rat. Oh, we got to keep.
We got to move. We got to stop talking through all of it and say yes real quick. Yes or no?
Lightning round.
Let's do it quick. Makuga, go.
Okay. Gabore Sidibe.
Gabore Sidibe.
Quick.
No. Yes. No.
No.
No. All right. So, all right.
That was the worst answer in the history of answers.
Gabore Sidibe. I say yes.
Gabore Sidibe.
No.
No, he's going to say Sibide.
All right, next. Sibide. Next. How many we got left? 10.
12.
Right?
No. Mila Jovovich?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he might. He's
going
to get that.
Yes. I'm going yes.
You said no, Riley.
I'm saying yes.
I said yes.
That's fine.
All right, everyone said yes.
This game is now longer than The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
Mary Steenburgen.
I love that
Come
one.
On. Yeah. I don't know.
Come on, yes or no?
No.
You don't think he's going to get it? He'll say yes. He'll get that.
Yes, he will.
Okay, Fried?
No.
All right, Riley, can you go get the intern? Let's go see how you guys did a Shmoogle.
Is that the one you had?
All right, so let me...
Now, wait, I want everybody to pay attention to this, because this is how I think Josh is going to answer, because I can tell when he doesn't know how to pronounce the name, because the last name just drifts off in outer space. So when you say Shweta Ejiofor, he'll say Shweta Ejiofor.
Yeah, all right. All right, here's the JTI. All right, so give him... No, look at the score. You don't look at the scores.
Yeah, I wrote the scores.
Right, the scores right next to the names.
Yeah.
But it's coded.
Yeah, it's pretty well coded. I mean,
all right. So guys, work with us. This is the brain. All right, here we go. So JTI, sit next to Free. Thank you, Makuga. Now make sure you use the mic. All right, make sure you use the mic. All right, so you got to read them in order.
It's important that we hear you.
All right, so now here's how we're gonna. The first, don't look at all. Don't look at the list yet. You're just gonna look right away, and you say the first name. So the way it's gonna work, you don't look. You don't say. You say the name and say it. Don't go. Say it how you would say it. If you're gonna say John Liejo, say John Liejo.
Yeah, I'll say exactly what I'm trying to read.
All right, so the first name. Say it, please.
Say it once.
Right
and
into
say
the
it
microphone.
Confident.
Right into the mic.
Think about how you're going to pronounce it,
first
and then
one.
Let it go.
There we go.
Oh, God.
Quavan is a
heavy. Okay.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, he's got to say it. Say what you just said. Say it loud into the mic.
Quavan Zahini Wallace?
All right,
Wallace?
So everybody got that right. He got it wrong. Okay, next.
I still
don't
know
look.
What
don't look at the list yet. Don't look at this. All right. All right, number two. Here we go. Say it.
Ceres Ronan?
Sari's running.
I'll go judges, and I think that's a win.
Yeah, Makuga?
I'll give him.
Him, all right, he gets
I'll
that.
Give
so,
him Sari's
right, so he's
all
right. Got it.
Wow,
so,
nice job, nice job.
All right, okay.
It's actually pronounced Searsha.
That's Searsha. Okay, we'll give it to you. That's all right. Bad. Next one?
Dang it.
Yeah, next one?
All right, Nikolai Coster?
Oh, I got it!
He got it!
No!
He took off the J.
He got it.
Nikolai, he says?
He got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Way to go.
Next one?
All right. Marciska Hargitay.
No.
I do love that one. I love that one. That was one of my favorite ones.
Don't look. What was it?
Who was that? Mariska Hargitay.
That was the Ellis technique of the trailing off. I like
kind of just kind of drifts off. Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
Wait, which one? He's got
Mariska Hargitay.
Okay.
Mariska Hargitay.
From Law and Order.
Next one.
Chloe 70.
I'll give him that.
Chloe 70.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give him that one. All right.
Yeah. Josh, can I point out something? None of those names have a question mark at the end of them. So don't read it like it's you're asking.
There's a question.
Next Be one. Confident.
Next one. Here we go.
Oh, Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Give me that. Give me that.
That was Freed's way to pronounce it as well.
All right. That goes next.
Oh, Steve Ranazzisi.
Yeah.
Okay. No. You said that a little bit like you're from
the
Netherlands.
League, man.
Oh, Steve Ranazzisi.
All right. Here we go.
Jesus.
No.
No, it's not Jesus. Go.
Gabory Sibier?
Yeah!
You're good.
That's not right.
That wasn't right.
Sibier.
Oh, we got it
wrong. Can't play it back. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so you got that wrong.
Next one is, Mila Jovovich.
Okay. Yeah, got that one. All right. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Mary Steenburgen.
Oh man.
Steenburgen.
Steenburgen, oh.
Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Sorry. Which ones course. Did he get right?
Is that the handwriting situation?
Is that it? Right. Is it over?
The key to this game,
as bad as I thought it was,
it took
be.
So much longer to explain the game. But the key to that game is that the easy ones are the funny ones. Mary Steenburgen?
Mariska Hargitay.
So you tally it up and tell us who won.
Yes. Mariska.
So all right. So good. So JT, wait. Sit down for a second. You're not done. JT, so why are you so bad with pronunciations of names?
I don't know. You know,
you're not a dummy.
No,
you're a smart guy.
I don't know. I just maybe I didn't say a lot of names in my life. I'm a big fan of Stallone, so maybe I'm going after his kind of dialect.
Wait a minute. Are we sure he's not a dummy?
He's not a dummy.
Stop How do we know? It. Do we should give him like a Wonderlic test?
Listen, you ever listen to him? You know? We need to hear him talk about movies and stuff the way he pronounces.
Dude, you and I talk about movies like we know what we're talking about.
But we can pronounce Mary Steenburgen.
Here's what I'm saying though. Is that I think that if he hadn't opened his yap about John Liejo and Dolph Lundgren, I think anyone else on this podcast would be hard pressed to get a lot of those names.
Yeah.
So I think maybe next time we just call the Josh Intern game, but somebody else from the crew has to come in and show somebody.
It's not how to pronounce.
I'm not Biffin Steenburgen, though. I'll tell you that.
If you don't hear your name, though, and you read it for the first time, like, I skip over names when I'm reading books.
Mike.
Oh, I skip over names when I'm reading books if they're too hard.
It's amazing how you can be in a room with a microphone and forget it's there.
You're a Lord of the Rings fan and you're skipping over names?
I go back.
Those are crazy names.
No, it's the JTI game because it's like that's his thing.
I'd never realized it until I started coming on this show. I think my friends are just too nice not to tell me.
Well, no one's going to let you know anymore. So thank you for being a good sport about it, by the way.
No problem.
Yeah.
Here's the JTI game.
I thought he did well. I honestly think that we, again, Mariska Hargitay would have gotten that. Yeah. Mary Steenburgen, not a problem.
McCoogie gave him some hard ones for the first time.
Some of them he got right, though, that we were surprised. Like, you didn't think he would get Nikolai.
No, I thought there was going to be a Nikolaj.
Yeah. They were hard names, and I know that Josh loves being a part of the show with Mark and Kirsten.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Kirsten Karloff. So, again, here with Andrew Freed, and you get to thank you for playing the game with us as well, too.
It's amazing.
So you also worked on a cool show, Iconoclast.
A lot of hard to pronounce names on that show.
Yeah, well, I mean, so now that was you co-partnered with Robert Redford. Is that correct?
That makes me sound much more important than I was at the time.
I call him Bob.
We all do. Yeah. That was a show that I sort of came up on. So I was an associate producer year one, story producer, and then went on to be a producer of the series. And that's we talked about it last time. That is a very, very cool thing, cool show. Still goes on.
Yeah.
They still make them. And, you know, again, got to be with these amazing people in a unique moment where they are together having this shared experience.
You're really good at putting two people in a room and having a conversation.
Yeah. Really all Iconoclast, Mike Tyson, Dalai Lama. Great Wall of China. Done.
It's a great episode.
What's your favorite?
I'll shoot that right now.
What's your favorite thing that you're? I mean, not
the besides Tyson, your podcast.
Yeah, you know, and Tyson
the Kibitz.
Yeah, and Tyson. Tyson. Don't include that one. But what show? What project are you working on now, or that have you worked on recently that you're very proud of and that you love working on?
Well, I'm proud of all of them, Christian.
Like, what's it? What,
you're, you know just, what I mean. You're asking him to choose a child.
No, but I mean,
I have a show. I have a show on Bravo right now that I'm not all that proud of. No. I did a documentary about the Broadway musical In the Heights that some friends of mine had created, and I went to this off-Broadway. So, not off-Broadway. I went to this sort of workshop that they do for a day or two, and it was friends of mine. Hey, we wrote this musical. Lynn wrote this musical, and you should go listen. You know, you should come. And, you know, about 80, 100 people in a room watching people sing songs that aren't really part of anything at that point. They had been working on the show for 6 years, but it wasn't really anything. And I left there, and I called my mom, and I said, you know, I've been in the room. You know, you hear that story. The first time I read that, I knew. The first time I heard that song, I knew it was going to be. I'm like, I've been in the room. This is going to win Best Musical on Broadway. I don't have $10 million to produce a Broadway show. What do I do? And she said, you do what you do. You interview them. You tell their story. And so I shot with them for 2.5 years, starting pretty much then. We shot 700 hours of footage. They went on to be nominated for 13 Tonys. Yeah. And they won Best Musical, and my friend Lynn won Best Composer, and my friend Tommy was one of the youngest people ever nominated for Best Director, and it happened, you know, and it ended up being an episode of Great Performances. But that was awesome, too. A lot of the things are awesome.
Well, the thing – here's what I want to know, and we can kind of get out of here on this one or start to, you know, get off this train, is – you walk into a room, and like you said with Tyson, is it the guy just – there's a light about him. Who's another guy besides Tyson, and not counting Christian, and obviously you're a huge fan of Josh McCuga, so I'll get him out of there too. Who do you – like you walk in like a famous actor or something, you're just like, wow, that guy was awesome. That was the coolest guy. I can't – he had an aura about him.
I have a list.
Smaug is one.
Yeah, exactly. I've worked with Tom Cruise. I've worked with really
– his name is pronounced Cruez.
Cruez.
Yeah, Cruez.
I've worked with your sort of fair share of
– Real quick, JTI is over there like a king on his throne. He's like, man, at least I got four of them.
Yeah.
I thought he did very well.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Michael Douglas is the biggest movie star I've ever been
really?
With.
Really? Yeah. He just straight carries out. Himself?
Straight the fuck.
Why? Up. Why? What's so cool about him? Tell me a cool story about Michael Douglas.
He walked in. And he was wearing white pants and a green turtleneck sweater and like a awesome milk chocolatey leather jacket, and his hair was coiffed perfectly and
like a movie star.
He was just fucking Michael Douglas, and it was awesome. David Ortiz, I worked with recently.
Oh, well, he's from that baseball team that's really good.
Exactly. That guy walked in.
Better than the Yankees,
like,
I hear.
Stop it.
Boom. That guy is. Real deal.
Yeah.
But Michael Douglas.
Did you call him David Ortiz or did you call him Big Poppy?
Big Poppy.
It's kind of weird for another man to call another man
Poppy.
Poppy.
Yeah, it's, Poppy.
Well, wait. So, Michael Douglas, did you get to talk to Michael Douglas as far as, like, have some stories with him? Anything, like, cool? Or just more, it was just more very work-related?
You know, it's always work-related.
No, but but Tyson, you probably had some conversations with
that. I spent 3 months with Tyson.
You
know,
you
one
chew the
afternoon
fat, so to speak.
With Michael Douglas. Okay. But
you're kibitz.
Yeah, you kibitz. Yeah. Exactly. We did this thing. It was for the Oprah Oscar special a couple years ago, and it was the 25th anniversary of Fatal Attraction. And so we brought Michael Douglas and Glenn Close together to watch some clips from the film and just sort of talk about it.
It's been more tense than Holyfield and Tyson.
Yeah. And that was really cool. But I don't know. Michael Douglas, man.
There's something about certain, like, and I'm not going to lie.
Clooney's got it, too.
I'm going to say someone with a funny name. We were talking about Dolph Lundgren. When I met him, I don't know what it was, but I walked into the room and I was like.
Because he can kill you with his pinky.
But there's something about, like, those older actors that there was just such a different vibe. Like, yeah. We get to see so much of our actors' lives now. Like, they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, whatever. It feels like they're too accessible. And actors from back then, it's like, they do.
He was Drago, and that was it. He was Drago, you didn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
You just thought he would break you, and that was it.
You walk into the room, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that for sure. And so it is, especially Michael Douglas.
And it's funny, it's like, if they weren't, because there's a time, when you think about it, there was a time that Michael Douglas had a famous father.
He was a producer when he started.
And was trying to make it as an actor.
Yeah. Producer started. He started as a producer.
Right, but only because he was just trying to get in.
Right.
Yeah.
How was that guy not always famous?
I know.
Jay-Z is somebody. I don't know if any of you have ever met Jay-Z, but like.
He's that hip-hop artist.
He is.
I met Mark Ryan.
With the Rappity Raps. But he's like. He's fucking Jay-Z. Yeah. Like, if he wasn't, I just don't know how any of those people could have ever.
Well, I mean, look at Harrison Ford, man. Harrison Ford. By the way, here's a trivia question: what was the name? Here's. I'm going to give you three.
I know the answer.
Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah. Can anybody know what's the name that Harrison Ford calls out? His first role is a bellboy. He's looking for someone. Yeah. What's his line? Who's he screaming for? Nobody knows?
Nope.
Paging Mr. Ellis. Paging Mr. Ellis.
And Mr. Ellis has a question for the rest of the class, too. What is the most, like what Andrew's talking about with Michael Douglas, what is the most famous person that you've been, and maybe not most famous, but just the aura? There's just something magical about them when you're in the room together. Who do you got, Tiff? Because you've interviewed a lot
Tiff's
of these people.
Cool. Yeah, The Rock.
Don't see your lines.
Here's the thing. There's like The Rock is, there is something about him, but that's just because he's so warm and charismatic. It's different than like... superstar, like he has a superstar vibe, but not old school movie star. I think I walked out of the room being like, "Oh my gosh!" After I talked to Christian Bale,
yeah, see.
I did feel like
I got that same feeling around Christian Bale. I didn't even talk to him. He was standing right next to me at a screening of The Fighter that we were at, and they were doing a Q&A afterwards. And I look over, and it's Christian Bale. And you see him on the screen.
Yeah.
And he's really, really skinny. You see him in person. And yeah. he had the beard and everything. And yeah. it was like, holy shit, that guy's awesome.
It's people where you feel like I don't know that I could have a normal friend conversation with you.
I'm going, Arnold. There's something about that guy. Oh, man.
You're not just doing that for the impression.
Have you ever been around Arnold?
No. I think I would be too scared to go near him that, like, he would try to do
stick a cigar somewhere
that
shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I saw him at a restaurant in Brentwood once.
Listen,
does that count?
He was.
Oh, Bruce Willis, too. He's another one.
Okay, no, you already had your
turn. Sorry, I have two now done.
But Arnold was that guy. I mean, the first time I ever saw Arnold, he was literally, like, he just popped out of Last Action Hero. I saw him in a car. He had a cigar in his mouth, sunglasses, and I was like, that's incredible. And then when you and I interviewed him for Expendables 2, and it was just like, that's fucking Arnold.
But
dude.
Arnold was also drawn to you over everybody else, so maybe you got that something with
that's
Arnold.
True.
For me, it's two real quick ones that were both in the back of the Comedy Store. The one who I wanted it to be was David Lee Roth. And it was great, but after like 20 minutes, it's like your uncle at Thanksgiving. Like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Then also Jim Carrey. It was just me and Jim Carrey. He saw me go up, and then I had like a 15-minute conversation, just me and him, two guys that used to work the phones at the Comedy Store, shooting the shit. I'm sorry, chewing the fat. And that was one of the best kibitzes I've ever had in my life.
Kibitz. Yeah, well, if I can give two, it'd also include Robin Williams in there as well.
Okay, but no, I get to do two.
Oh, because you
and Tiffany gets
why
two.
Why did I get yelled at for two, though?
And, but you only get one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Robin Williams is.
Robin Williams. All right, McCooks, you got one?
Oh, no, I was you're
giving the score update.
The score,
so who won?
Tied for the win, Tiffany Smith and Andrew Freed.
Wow. Very nice, very nice.
They don't know Jesse Intern like we know Jesse.
Well,
Intern.
So we have Michael Douglas for
faith in
him. All right, so listen, that was a good episode of Schmoes No Movies. It's a very different vibe here in December. I like it.
Well, it's also something that Andrew Freed brings to the table whenever
stories.
He's on any podcast, and then when you check out his own podcast, the yet to be named but soon will be, you'll find
I'm
on the Schmoes No podcast or
Schmoes No Network.
Yes,
go to iTunes, check out on iTunes Schmoes No Network. You'll get the Andrew Freed show, which we'll figure out what the name is soon. You get the Josh McCoy. We get the Wild Man TV show. You get Riley Around. You'll get the Intern show. You'll get the Finstock Initiative. There's a lot. And Ken Knapsack. Ken gets the show. You don't have a name yet.
Yeah.
All right.
I will be taking it.
All right. We got to wrap. Okay. So, guys, it's a Schmozo movie show. Check us out. ToadHop. YouTube.com/Schmozno. Check out Andrew Freed on Twitter. Tiffany's tweets. The whole crew. Peace out.
5150 Ellis.
Christian Harloff. I mean, we have personal
and
Twitter.
And next week, big Hobbit Spoiler podcast, and maybe we'll talk about a Christmas movie.
All right, guys. So check us out again. Schmoes No Movies. Peace out, Mother Effs.
Dude up. Dude. Up.